2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
You're listening to an encore presentation here on KSL News Radio.
Nightside, you've had a long day. So have we. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
The Nightside Project recognizes that you had a long day.
That's all we'll concede.
We'll stipulate.
Because we also had a long day, okay? We lived the same amount of time today.
While the actual number of minutes in a day has not changed for the duration of our lives, we will, however, stipulate that due to certain circumstances,
subjectively, each person's day may have felt a little bit longer than seemed.
Yes. We do not, however, take any responsibility for that, nor do we feel any obligation to respond to it.
Nightside does not recognize the ability to time travel or to be able to make time actually stop at any time during any of this program. So,
yes.
As we move along here, Ethan.
Just a good little bit of lawyer, good little bit of lawyering for you from you and me tonight.
Yeah. Well, listen, you got to give disclaimers. Every time you turn on the radio, it's a disclaimer. Every two seconds, a disclaimer.
Sure. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Ethan, all right. Wanted to throw this out there. This is something that we saw today, and I thought, I think that in a time where everybody's trying to be more flexible with and more understanding with how things are going in the world, a morality police about job sharing, but a very different type of job sharing. Let's do it.
Nightside Morality Police. The thin blue line between right and wrong.
All right. So about 40 million Americans, just shy of 40 million Americans, have applied for unemployment since the end of February. And COVID-19 has absolutely ravaged the normal work circumstances that we're in. And there is a job sharing idea that is out there, an approach that focuses on maximizing jobs by reducing workers' hours rather than resorting to layoffs or furloughs.
Yeah.
The goal is to keep employees in the workplace with hours and pay that will leave them at least as financially well off as they would be under the unemployment coverage that's there. So the idea is, hey, company, what if you split the cost of these employees that are there? Would you take a massive pay cut to share your hours or your salary, basically, or to be sharing the salary of somebody else with you at your job?
That's right.
Ethan, go ahead and take it from here. No, it's an interesting question. What a weird time we live in now.
It is, but I think that might be smarter. And here's part of the problem, too, is labor law might not allow this in every state. There may have to be some things changed, but yeah, I think in some circumstances where you're facing some permanent layoffs in this kind of economic environment, it makes some sense at least to offer the people in question the ability to cut the hours instead of getting laid off outright. So if you've got, if you've got two employees and they're each being paid $2,000 a week, okay? Or let's say $1,000 a week. Okay. So they're each being paid $1,000 a week.
Got it.
And you could only afford $1,000 a week. You could only keep one.
Between the two guys, yeah.
Between the two. Would it make more sense to say, hey, instead of layoffs, why don't you guys share this job? Well, I don't know. I mean, what's the big difference between this idea and just going part-time?
Well, the idea is to keep them on. I think it does give people the idea of feeling like that they would end up being hired back on full time with the full benefit. The idea is to keep the benefits too.
You know how you would have to do it, and that is kind of a indicated a little bit here in this CNN article. What you could do is maybe offer the employees the opportunity to maybe bid for the work and say, "Hey, I'm willing to do it for this much." And then the employer can look and say, okay, is that worthwhile? Is that a reasonable way to go? I just think that different companies across the country are trying out is they're trying things out of necessity. And they're trying to figure out how do we move forward in a way that respects both the employees that we have and the bottom line. Because that's the big problem with being in a business. Is you get very, very close to your employees, but at the end of the day, it's also a business, right?
Yeah.
And one thing that I always, you and I had, and this was years and years and years ago, but you and I had a supervisor no longer in our lives at all. And we haven't worked with them for more than 10 years. But if you remember, they regularly used the term family, you know, we're family. And I never liked that because we're not family.
Well, but
we're not. Any of us can be fired.
I know, but they just did this whole thing where and that's a part of this. You feel less like that. But there are this whole American Working Conditions survey that was done by this group shows that workers value the social and supportive aspects of their work.
Of course, which is where you have to thread that needle because it's a place of business, right?
Now, for There's sure, your boss going, "Hey, man, you need to take a pay cut because we're family, man." Like that's, and you never believing it from the beginning. But if our bosses came to us and said, "Hey, this is the thing that's going on right now," there would not be one person in this building that would just roll their eyes suddenly and go, "Yeah, right for you, you billionaire sitting on some ivory tower." It's like, no, everybody knows how difficult this is for everyone right now, and companies are trying to figure it out. Most companies are trying to do the exact are trying to do the right thing. You know, and that's
yeah, I agree, and that's because we develop personal relationships. But at the end of the day, the only thing that matters in that business, maybe I should say this, the thing that takes overwhelming precedence in the business is the bottom line, right? Because if the business is not profitable, then it doesn't matter who loses their job; everyone's going to lose their job. So there's got to be. And I don't know what that balance is. And maybe the coronavirus stuff is helping people kind of find that balance between respecting the relationships that you have and the fact that we're all people with the real demands of companies. And it's worth looking at both, right?
Right.
I mean, I think you absolutely have to because you're going to get the more satisfied people long term. And especially nowadays, there's a generation who didn't seem to value. I worked with a family some time ago who... they had worked at a family-owned business for years, nearly their entire careers. And they were describing to me their careers and things like that. They had, a modest amount saved, not nearly enough, for a good retirement. And they had really just never made any money. They'd been with this family forever, but they felt towards the business-owning family. They felt so much affection. They would share with me stories about these kids that were part of the family they loved. And, oh, and he loves, to go do this. And he's got this kind of a $100,000 sports car and he loves it. And he loves going out on the, on the houseboat and things like that. And they were describing the lives of this family that they had worked their entire lives for and were still effectively impoverished. And I felt bad about that. I felt really bad because that's, I think, a problem that we have across
for
the
sure.
economy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And maybe the coronavirus is giving us an opportunity to see this in a different light and to understand that there are overlapping factors. And one of them is you can't always get away with just paying your employees as little as you possibly can. The rules of our justice system may let you do that, but I think basic human ethics frowns on that. And also it could create medium to long-term problems for your business when you start having to dig in uncomfortable times like this and make changes, is your staff going to stick with you? Are they going to believe you? Are they going to be a partner with you in this?
That's a good question.
Or are you just always going to be the bad guy because everyone knows that all you do is take their productivity and their work and put as much of it in your pocket as you can? And if that's your profile with your employees, you're going to have problems.
Well, that's the profile with the employees at the Outback guy down in Orem has, right?
I think that's, like, that might be what they think.
You are, like, people are just assets. They're not actual people.
And if that's not the case, then they need to make sure they communicate that.
They see you talking to them, and your head is one giant blooming onion. You're just product, man. Get out of here. All right, we're taking the break. We got our it's our final hour, our second hour of the program coming up next. Ethan's headlines, news, traffic, and weather right now. Stay with us right here on KSL's The Nightside Project.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on kslpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.